I don't know exactly for whom it is, but I can feel that someone needs it among us. Let it be a comfort to you, and may the Lord fulfill His will in your life. Answer me when I call, O God, who declares me innocent. Take away my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people ruin my reputation? How long will you make these groundless accusations? How long will you pursue lies? You can be sure of this. The Lord has set apart the godly for Himself. The Lord will answer when I call to Him. Don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. Offer proper sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many people say, "Who will show us better times?" Let the smile of your face shine on us, Lord. You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and wine. I will lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. Amen. I would like also to thank God for what He has done for me and the girls throughout the week. It was a hectic week, really, going up and down in what I'm doing to get children passports. I was not expecting to see the immigration changing the laws and people that are collaborating with the immigration to be in a position of not mastering what they are dealing with. Before you send the application to the immigration in Liverpool, you can go to the check-in office, either in Sheffield or Swinton. I went there with my two applications. They looked at the applications. They say, "Yes, you can submit one, but the other one, go to the post office. They will give you a part. You can submit a different application. The one you can get the passport straight away." In Swinton, it was to send the application for the registration, the certificate of registration for British citizenship. So things got mixed up when I went to the post office. I met three different people. Each one was telling me, "Go and bring this other document." I went away, found the document, brought it, and when I meet another person, say, "You're still missing another document." And the third time they say, "You don't qualify." Go back to Swinton. So I went there, praise God. They said, "Okay, you can apply." I paid proper fees that I was meant to pay, instead of 460 for each child. So I had to add £50 for the second child. So Friday, I went to Liverpool to submit Betty's application. No, Deborah's for passport, because she had the certificate. Yeah, things were okay. And then I showed them Betty's application, which still waiting for the certificate of registration. The first person looked at it, said, "Let me double check with my supervisor." He checked with the supervisor. The supervisor said, "Okay, he can pay for both." So I paid for both, and keep praying for me, because I'm waiting to receive those passports before Thursday night, because I'm traveling Thursday night. The service normally is 1 week. So submitting Friday, I can wait up to Friday. And I don't have Friday. Yes. So thank God for what He has done, and thank you for your prayers. Leaders have prayed for this need, and thank you very much. Your faith is bearing fruit. God bless you all. Amen.
Can I just ask everybody to have a look at Isaiah 36, please? This is why we've not got to worry about things, and this is why it'll be right. Because Isaiah 36 is the joy of the redeemed. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of the Carmel and the Sharon. It will see the glory of the Lord and the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, and the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in the way. Wicked fools will not go on about it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get upon it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. I just want to thank God that I'm a work in progress. Might have been on the way a bit longer than some, but I am a work in progress. And that, to me, is tremendous, because I sort of think back and the sort of path I've trod sometimes, and I think, God, why do you bother with me? You know, I make two steps forward, three steps back sometimes. The thing about a work in progress is forward moving. And no matter what things, that problems I face, what difficulties I come across, I'm going forward. And Paul had a similar battle, you know, when he was going through things. And in Philippians is where he really pens it, his struggles and his battles and you know, the fights he had, and just sometimes just keeping it together. A verse in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And you know, sometimes I've been guilty of looking back a lot. And you lose your focus sometimes if you're looking back. But Paul was reminding himself where his focus needs to be. Looking what lies ahead. And reaching forward to what lies ahead. And pressing, he says, I press on towards the goal. for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what we've all got to do. And so if we sit and dwell on things, and we dwell on our failures and our problems and that, it can suck us down. It can suck us under. And I think Paul had battles like that. You know, we think as Paul has been up there sort of thing. But he had real battles to face and to fight. And a lot of the battles he fought was within himself. And that's why he penned something like this. Because he knew that the battles he faced, everybody else faces the same battles. You do, I do. The actual circumstances might be different, but it's the battles that's there. But it's this work in progress. I'm a work in progress. And the brilliant thing is that God's not fazed when I get it wrong, when I make mistakes. I was looking at something else recently. I've been penning something else to share at some time, but just briefly, when Jesus went round and he chose the disciples, he didn't choose them because of the qualifications. That never entered into it, because if you look at some of the qualifications they had, they would have been straight out with them. And even when they were with Jesus, they blew it a number of times. Peter did, Thomas did, the others did. And you and me would think, sack them. You know, we'll add somebody else, we'll choose somebody else. But no, Jesus stuck with those he chose, because he did see something in him. He did see something that you and me would probably have not seen. And Jesus sees something in you and me that others won't see. And because of that, we're priceless. We're priceless. Each one of us is unique to God. Yeah, I'm reading one or two books at the moment. One that John gave me. I struggled for a long time with a book that John gave me. And it really makes you think things from a different perspective. And there's another thing I'm reading at the moment, a science thing. And that again makes you think, you know, there's a lot of, this world puts a lot of assumptions together. And to leave God out. And there's some important ingredients that they throw out with the rejection of God. And I just praise God that perseveres with me. And he perseveres with each one of us. So I just wanted to share that, because I think somewhere along the line, we all get to that point and thinking, why is God bothering with me? Or, I've got it all wrong, where do I go from here? Well, God says, stick with it. Stick in there. Because he says, if you get your focus right, looking at the future, you know, that's where he's taking us. Each one of us. Into the future. And I want him to be taking me into the future. I don't want him to be me taking me into the future. I want God to be doing it. And that's why we just need to trust. Whatever we don't understand, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that we trust. We trust God. We trust Jesus. Amen.
And when Lynn read Psalm 35 and Jonathan read Psalm 40 and Dharma read Psalm 4, sorry, Isaiah 35, I read and Lynn read and the other two Psalms, it's all about God's faithfulness and he's always there for us, and our performance is irrelevant. He loves us and he's always willing to forgive us and to restore us and get us back on the right road. And we just need to get our eyes off ourselves, don't we? And we're not to be afraid of anything that the devil throws at us. And I think more so as we go along in the years ahead. You know, the world is trying to control us, and they're fixing to control us more and more financially and in every way.
And it's time for God's people to look to God as our source of supply. He is faithful, and he saved us by his grace, and he's been faithful in saving us, and he will be faithful every step of the way. Whatever we need, God will be there for us. And I was reading in Hosea and chapter 13 and verse 4, and in this is sort of summing up Hosea, and he's talking about how unfaithful Israel had been. And in verse 4 he said, "Yet I have been the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt. You know no God but me, and besides me there is no Saviour. It was I who fed you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. When I fed them, they were satisfied. They were satisfied and their heart was proud. Therefore, they forgot me." Don't forget God. When things are going good, don't think it's what you've done. It's always what God's done. God gives us favour. He puts us in positions where we're blessed. And it's him who is doing it, not we ourselves. If we've got any ability, it's because God's given it us. And so all credit goes to God. And we need to constantly focus on it's his ability. It's his grace. It's his favour. And chapter 14 and verse 4, again, they've got it wrong. But in verse 4, God said, "I will heal their disloyalty. I will love them freely. For my anger has turned from them. I will be like dew to Israel. They shall blossom like the lily. They shall strike root like the forests of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive tree, and his fragrance like that of Lebanon. They shall again live beneath my shadow. They shall flourish as a garden. They shall blossom like the vine. Their fragrance shall be like the wine of Lebanon." And verse 8, "O Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I'm like an evergreen cypress. Your faithfulness comes from me. Those who are wise understand these things. Those who are discerning know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them." You know, there's only us. Like Lynn read in Isaiah 35, "There's only the godly can walk on the way of righteousness. This way seems foolishness to the world." They can't walk it. They'll not be found on the path that you're on. If you walk God's path, you will always be successful. He will always make a way for you. He will always provide for you. He will vindicate you. He will defend you. He is a faithful God, and he will remain that way. But the unrighteous can't walk on that way, because God's ways are totally contrary to the world's ways. God says, if you've no money, then give what you've got. What bit you've got, give it to me. Now the world says, oh.